Girl, look.
Don't use God. Don't use God for your own personal life. Because he sees it. And the more you're pursuing after this answer, the more you're burning yourself out. You're burning your energy out. The farther and farther away.
We're not pursuing the old us, okay? We're going after the things that God has for us. I don't know what y'all going after. That's none of my business. That's none of my business. But we're going after. But we're going after the things that God has for us.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Today, we have a very special guest. Her name is Miss Rosalyn Renee. We are going to be talking about all things mental health today. We have been in our Mind Control series here on the Living in Pursuit podcast, and we've been talking about mental health. We've been talking about our thoughts, learning how to analyze certain thoughts that cause certain feelings that are very detrimental to us and to our faith. So, what better way to bring in some professionals? Like, I know y'all love hearing me. I know y'all love me, but I wanted to bring in some professionals, some people that really know their stuff about this particular topic. So I have Miss Rosalyn Renee. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the people who may not know you.
Hey, girl. Well, I am super excited about being on the podcast today. So my name is Rosalyn Renee. I am the podcaster of the Therapy is a Christian podcast. I am also the head productivity coach at Show Up Sis. And so I have been in the mental health. So just a little bit about me. I have been in the mental health field now since about 2012, post-grad since 2016. So I've worked professionally in the mental health space for a little bit of time. And recently, probably within the last 3 years, have gone to therapy as a client, but also know that space professionally. And as a client and a professional, I definitely know both sides of the token as it relates to really working through mental health, as well as knowing how to do it personally, especially as a Christian. Because there's a lot of, when I started my podcast and as well as when I went to therapy, there wasn't a lot of people that I saw on social media. There really wasn't a culture around therapy as it is now. And so for me, I really wanted to share my experience. And so that's how I kind of got into podcasting. But for me as a client, doing it with God was different. And doing it with God really meant doing a lot of things that I had never seen before, which we can of course talk about. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm a mom of one. He's an amazing, amazing 6-month-old, about to be 7 months, which is crazy to me. And I'm also a wife. I've been married for a little over 3 years.
Wow, that's amazing. First of all, congratulations on the new baby. That mommy life, that's something else. Look. And we were just talking about that. That's a whole nother life, a whole nother hustle.
Listen, you really don't know how much time you wasted when you didn't have kids. I'll say that.
Lord.
I can't say wasted because no time is ever wasted in my eyes. But I do believe like I wasn't doing as much as I could have been doing probably.
Girl, a baby will definitely get you productive. Let's say that.
Exactly.
So you started your podcast, Therapy as a Christian, and I've actually been a listener since what I think I said, 2018.
Yes, I was surprised when you told me that.
Yes, so much to the point where it was like, I was so amazed and I was just so amazed at how you've been able to merge Christianity and therapy into one. And I really think that it's important to talk about because a lot of people and a lot of times the church tells us, oh, just pray about it. Oh, it'll just go away as if our relationship with God is some kind of magic trick or something. Here, just pray about it and it's going to go away. But in actuality, I was in a point in my life where I felt like yes, I'm developing my relationship with God. I'm learning how to pray. I'm learning who God is and who I am in his identity. But I'm still struggling with these thoughts, and I'm still struggling with the way that I've processed things over the years. And I need somebody to talk to about that. What point in your life would you say that you've gotten to that point where you were just like, you know what, I need to talk to somebody about this specific thing? And when you got to that point, what was it that made you decide that you needed help in that area?
Yeah. So first, let me say, yes, there is, I think now there has definitely been a shift of the church being more accepting of going to therapy because more people are going, especially considering what we all experienced last year. I think that mental health awareness has risen more. And just because of the awareness, there has been more discussion of, okay, what does this actually look like when we are talking to people, especially pastoral leaders, talking about how do I assist someone who is having suicidal thoughts and not shunning it as a issue that does not need to be talked about, but really, really addressing suicide and depression and anxiety. Like, these conversations are happening more, and they're not being as if they're not showing itself as if it's a person that's crazy or a person that's having more issues and shunning it away. And I think that has been the narrative before, whereas now it's becoming more a reality that there are people that are Christian who struggle with depression. There are people who are Christian that have anxiety. There are people that are Christian who have had maybe thoughts of suicide. There are people who are Christian who have been sexually traumatized. There are people who are Christian who have lost a family member. There are people who are Christian who are in bad marriages that are abusive. And it's presenting the reality of what I believe Jesus came for, was to help us understand and be helped in this area. And so having those conversations, it presents a layer of vulnerability that I believe we've cut off in the church in the past, I believe. And so because the conversation is happening more, we are understanding that prayer is a part of our weaponry, but it's not the only thing. And I think that especially in the mental health space, there's a lot of conversation of confession, which is being vulnerable. We sharing each other's burdens, as the Bible talks about having relationship with other people. There's a level of vulnerability with that. That's not just prayer. That's not just that one thing, not keeping things to ourselves. And I also think that it's important to note that a lot of times in prayer, we pray to God, but we may not really know what we're really experiencing. We just may think, oh, I'm sad today. Well, why are you sad? And so I think therapy presents an opportunity to really go deeper and take a deep dive into those triggers and what are those reasons as to why these things have happened. And as a client for myself, I didn't know, just to give backstory on what really prompted me to go to counseling, because I've had four therapists now. But the last one I have, which I have currently, is the one that I really went through my healing journey with. So when I was probably 24, I had just started grad school at that point. And one of my professors said, every good therapist needs a therapist. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I want to be a therapist, so maybe I need to go seek out therapy. And I ended up going to this, went to my university counseling center and saw a therapist for free. It was a guy. He was a doctoral student. So I just kind of started that process. I knew it. I had probably issues, but couldn't identify what they were. I was just like, well, maybe I just need to talk to someone. Ended up seeing him for a year. And that was the start of my just self-awareness journey of, maybe there's something deeper to my feelings than just me having feelings. Never really having had been taught even feeling awareness, which I call it, where you can recognize, oh, I'm angry right now. Oh, I'm really sad right now. Oh, I'm really irritated and here's why. Like, most of the time we're just irritated. Most of the time we're just like, oh, I don't really feel like talking to anybody. Or most of the time you don't know. I think what was the thing for me was when something would happen, I would isolate from my friends and they would be like, why do you do that? And I'm like, girl, I just don't feel like talking to y'all. Why does that happen? And so that's just kind of where that started. And I had seen multiple counselors following that, but I just really didn't mesh well with them and didn't see them for long periods of time. But when I got engaged in 2017, I was 27 at the time. And I remember just the rush of my childhood coming back to me. And my parents' relationship was not the best growing up. They were together for a while. They were married for about 20 plus years. But throughout most of the time they were married, they just didn't have the best relationship. And my dad wasn't a great example of a father, in my opinion. And so I just always thought to myself, me and my husband are going to get divorced. Like, but while we were engaged, like nothing, it was just not a positive perspective going into a marriage. Even though a great guy, a great man, never gave me the thought that he would ever do anything that would hurt me, just the thought of that. And that was really triggering. And I really struggled with anxiety when we were planning our wedding. And I knew it was anxiety because I was just very worried, very nervous, all of this. And I remember the day that I called the therapist that I had, I remember having a conversation with a coworker. And at the time, I was really struggling also with my confidence and feeling like I had purpose, but I just didn't know what it was. I think that happens when we're like trying to figure out what it is that God's calling us to do. I had a close relationship with God, by the way. And I remember talking to this coworker of mine, and I struggled with finding my voice. Like, I struggled with being very objective and very bold, and what I felt that people who had strong personalities really intimidated me. And she was one of them. And I remember leaving that conversation with her and walking around the corner of a hallway and just crying to myself, like, why am I so intimidated by people? What is wrong? I need to really deal with this. On top of having a lot of stress with planning a wedding and all of these things. So I called the therapist, booked the appointment. And that was it. That, like, we booked it, and I've been with her since then. That was January 2018. And what I realized is I thought I was going to her for just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm about to get married, all of this. And needless to say, like, I have dealt with so much with her. And so for me, it was just, for me, the initial thought was, I just need to talk to somebody about what's kind of happening with me, but I don't really have a plan of what this will look like. And so that's kind of where it started.
It's crazy because on the podcast in this series, we're learning how to unprocess things, or we're learning how to completely understand the root of things that we're feeling and the things that we've gone through. Because a lot of times we will improperly process things, or we will improperly gain this perspective of ourselves or a situation that we've incurred, and it'll be completely wrong. So it's like you think that you need to be healed in this area when really you need to be healed in this area.
Oh, it was a whole thing.
And it amazes me because you were going through all of that at one time. It wasn't just this or that. It was all of these things.
Oh, yeah.
So what was the process of just digesting all of these topics at once? Like, what was, I guess, the root of your issue within all of the things that you were going through?
Yes, that's such a great question. So definitely understanding with therapy, you don't deal with everything at once. So like, it's almost like surgery. If you have a major surgery, they may only pinpoint one specific area and take out one thing at a time. And so I do believe in the last 3 years of seeing my therapist, 2 years of that time was real, real work. Like, from 2018 to the end of 2019. So I saw her from January all the way to the end of 2019. So 2 solid years. And then I saw her. No, actually, I've been in therapy for 3.5 years. Girl, that's a long time. And then I took a break and then saw her again when I was pregnant, which was mid-2020, all the way through the pandemic up until now. So it's been about 3.5 years. We didn't deal with everything at one time because I didn't know And she didn't know, of course, what was going on at first. So we were really just dissecting what initial things were happening. And the problems that occurred, that really what I realized was I had a lot of, and like you said, I think identifying what the problems are, mm-hmm. you kind of know, but you really don't know how they impact you. The biggest root for me was the way I grew up. And how my parents' relationship impacted me. My dad was a huge thread throughout the time where I was in therapy. And then more recently, my mom has become a thread as I've become a mother. But with my dad, I realized that I had a lot of issues with trust. I had a lot of issues with worthiness. I didn't really understand what worthiness felt, what it was like. I also had a lot of shame as it relates to my mom was very rigid in how she thought about things. So there was really no, there was a lot of limitations. There were a lot of, you have to be this way for this to happen. And I realized it was highly related to the why I was like struggling with perfectionism. I also saw that being a thread in my relationship with God because I saw my dad as a disciplinarian and I looked at God very similar in the sense that because he was my father, that was my first example of a male figure. So if my father, my earthly father treated me this way, this must be the way my heavenly father looks at me. And so I looked at God with a very, I have to perform lens. And I didn't understand what it meant to be a daughter and have the freedom to be myself because I'm a very like, I'm turned up personality. I wasn't comfortable with that. I thought I had to be very rigid, very boxed in, very church girl. And not to say like church girl is bad, but I have such a very loving personality that is very, very extroverted. And that may be, you know, loving culture, loving Black culture, like being just very, very myself. And I realized that I'd struggled with that because it was such a rigid way of thinking. I didn't understand freedom in God at all. And so worthiness was something that was super hard to deal with because it had a lot to do with shame. I was very hard on myself. I was very critical. I was critical of other people who I thought weren't Christian. My husband is very, very chill. And I would always be very hard on him. Like, you're not reading enough. You're not doing this enough. You're not listening to enough gospel music and trying to make his relationship that I had with God like mine. And I had to learn that it wasn't the same. And that didn't take away from his relationship with God because he didn't do the same thing. So those are some of the examples. But the emotions tied to that was a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of lack mindset, a lot of God not being a provider, not being my father, and not knowing what that looked like was hard. And so you think as an adult, you kind of got it figured out. And really what I found was I was a child kind of trying to figure out life as an adult. And it was really just really hard because you search for things in church to help you understand these emotions. And you search for sermons that help you kind of like understand what these mean in a way. And I think I just never found that. And so it wasn't until I had to really deal with my own mess and like walk through it. And I didn't really have an example. I didn't really know what it looked like to trust God, to be obedient. Like nobody was talking about that. Like I knew being obedient meant something, but like, how does it look when you really, really are fearful that like you don't want to do something and God's saying like, do this. And you're like, I just genuinely don't want to do that. And coming to him and being that way without, you know, running away and being like, forget Christianity, but like, experiencing God and you're like, I love you. I want to do this, but I feel this way. Rejection was a big one. People-pleasing was a big one. People-pleasing was another big one. Confidence in my gifts, like that was a huge one. More recently, it's been just affirming and not worrying. That I'm pretty much cool with being God's kid. Like, that to me is not an issue anymore. But really, like, confidence in God's ability to always provide no matter what. And that is another level of it. So those were like a lot of the layers of things that I really worked through.
So you mentioned your parents had a lot to do, I guess, with some of the mindsets or the beliefs that you formed in your own mind. So during this series, I've been going live on my Instagram, and one of the conversations that we had, I mentioned that the pastor that I listened to, he mentions that a lot of our mindsets and a lot of our beliefs are handed down from us or handed down to us from our parents and the generations before us. Would you say that a lot of those triggers from your parents, the things that they, I guess, handed down to you or taught you or parented to you, do you think a lot of those triggers came out once you found yourself in a position to be a parent?
Oh, yeah. Well, I take that back. Yes, but I also had a lot of time before I had my son to deal with a lot of those things, to where when I had him, I was in a really, like, if I had had him when me and my husband first got married, it really probably would have been really hard. But I had had so much time before having him, then that was just by the grace of God. And I really remember when I got pregnant that I did a lot of really deep repentance for my bloodline. Like, that was something big for me when I was prepping for me to have him, about who he was going to be, because I just did not want him to experience the same things that I experienced and my husband experienced. Mm-hmm. My husband doesn't have a relationship with his dad. I've never met his dad, and we've been together 9 years. And so with that being said, like, I was very intentional about a lot of deep repentance and fasting before getting pregnant, that I don't think my son is going to deal with half the stuff that we deal with. Like, he was birthed into a two-parent household. Parents are very active with him. We are very, very intentional about him and everything we do. My husband is so involved. It's just like, sometimes I'm like, are you the better parent? But like, that's how involved he is. But I think the things that come up now are more so making sure he has the best. And that can be a mindset shift for myself of, I'm giving him the best I have, but like, always wanting to do that more. And so just that can come from a lack mindset of, am I giving enough? Am I doing enough? That kind of thing. It can be performance based at times, but it also is a thing of just concern. But I do think, even just as someone who knows people who have kids and that kind of thing, it does present itself often, because I see layers of what my mom has done with me even now as I have him, and I have to check it, but I'm so much more aware of it that I can check it, because I know, like, when I have conversations with her and she says stuff to me, I'm like, ooh, yeah, I'm kind of acting like her a little bit. And so it's really, really important to have those, and this is why I always layer with therapy, be consistently talking about where you're seeing areas of growth, because healing is not a stopping point, and it's not a area that you just arrive at. I definitely don't think that I've arrived, but I know that I've done a lot of the hard, deep work to have a lot of forgiveness, have a lot of boundaries, know how to put boundaries in place, but they do come up. Like, it does come up, but I would not say that it's as deep as it would have been if I had not done all that work before having him.
That's so good. I think that me developing a relationship with God after having my child, or really just being intentional with dealing with these issues, has helped a lot. I think that had I not been so intentional about, you know, getting closer to God, getting closer to my purpose, then I wouldn't have the tools or the knowledge to parent my child or to learn and know that these things are passed down to us and they have the potential to trigger us in ways in our parenting. But a lot of the things that you mentioned, the anxiety, the fear, the one thing that really stands out to me right now is the rejection, because mm-hmm. I'm learning myself that unhealed or unsolved rejection can come up in different areas of our lives. And I just wanted to know, how did you improperly deal with rejection? Like, what are some things that you did? How are some reactions that you had while dealing with rejection before you were able to identify that it was rejection?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm trying to think from what I can just kind of think back to my mindset and the way that I reacted. I was an internalizer. So what that meant was, and I can recognize it now, but I am so much more like I can let it go quickly or quicker. I mean, I say quickly because sometimes I do hold on to it. It takes me a minute to like think through it, but I would internalize it. So what that would look like practically is, let's say somebody said a comment to me, I would internalize it completely as I must have done something wrong, or I am the reason this happened, or a lot of self-blame. And that self-blame could be held onto for weeks. I mean, weeks and months, just constantly mulling over in my mind what I did wrong. And that may not have been what was communicated. I would also say with rejection, it was anger, like just flat out anger, like just angry and resentful. That's what it looked like for me. Like I had a lot of anger towards my dad for rejection because he rejected me on multiple layers of things. Even up until my wedding day, I remember that was an early conversation I had with my therapist because I started therapy 3 months before I got married. And I remember having a conversation with her about him walking me down the aisle. And at this point was not self-aware. It was just like, you know, I don't really want him to walk me down the aisle. And I have a close relationship with my stepdad. And I was saying that I wanted maybe my mom to walk me down the aisle instead. And I remember telling him, I don't think I want you to walk me down the aisle. And he yelling at me saying, I'm not coming to your wedding. And I'm his only blood child. And so with that being said, that was a huge rejection for me. And I did not know how to process that. I was so, so angry. So just anger. And so I think with dealing with that, it took time, but it also took me really just like recognizing rejection is super, like when I understood it later, I understood that people only had a limited capacity to give me what I expected from them, which is a hard pill to swallow because you have so many expectations of people, especially people you trust, but people only have a limited capacity in what their experience is and what their life experience has given them to give. And really without God in your heart, I don't think that there is a lot that we can expect from people to give us until they've pretty much proven that, but also trusting that it's on me to really, really look at my response to when someone rejects me. And now it's not, because this shows up everywhere. Like, I mean, I've seen rejection show up in my business where if somebody doesn't buy something from me, I'm like, what did I do wrong? How did I not give more? Do I need to give more instead of maybe this person just doesn't have the finances for it, or maybe this just isn't for them, versus me overcompensating to try to please and overplease and please to try to prove something to them when that may not really be the response I have to give. And so it can come up in layers in different areas, but it definitely can be a thread if it's not dealt with. But I think experience allows you to know how to deal with that too. So yeah.
So how do you process rejection now? I'm learning myself that if I do feel rejected, I have to check my responses, because how I used to handle things when I felt rejected was the same way: anger. I would one, curse you out, or yep. I will stop talking to you, yep. or I will want to fight, or, you know, just blatantly let you feel how I feel. And we can't, I think now that we can't force what we feel onto other people. My mentor, he always tells me this, even to this day, and he's been telling me this for months. He says, don't allow other people's weaknesses become your burden. And I didn't understand what that meant until this whole rejection thing came up, because I too have felt that in my business as well. Well, maybe like when we feel rejection, we automatically go to the negative. We never go to the positive. Mm-hmm. So how are you learning how to process rejection in a healthier way?
Yeah. So I think first I needed to know that it was negative, because I didn't know that my responses were negative. I think you just naturally go to what you know, which could be curse you out, fight, not talk to you, cut you off, things like that. You don't know your responses are negative. So let me just say that first for sure. You may not recognize that they're unhealthy. I won't say negative. I'll definitely say unhealthy, because with negative, it becomes like a I'm bad type person versus I'm learning how to make healthier choices. Like with food, for example, you eat a bunch of fried food and you may not think it's bad, but you may go to just what is, you know, until you kind of choose something that feels a little bit better, even though it's uncomfortable. So with rejection now, it's so different, because, you know, I really always try to tell myself to go back to the mindset I was at, because I think when you kind of work through a lot for a while, you can sometimes forget what it feels like to be at that space. It shows up differently. I think now when I feel rejected, I process it. I really, really process it. Like I know that I'm pulling on business, because that's the first thing that's coming to my mind, but I'm trying to think of something else that has happened where somebody really intentionally did not choose me for something and I was upset about it. I think it's more so I understand me more. I understand my responses more, and I'm understanding that people are going to do what they choose. People are going to say what they say. That's like your mentor said, that's not for me to pick up. It's not my stuff to pick up what somebody else does, even if it was mean to me. Because at the end of the day, they still have to go to sleep at night, and so do I. And so I want to be fully confident in myself and my choices, and even what I choose to accept. Because somebody could say something negative to me, but that in myself I know for sure that's not who I am. I don't have to accept that. And I also don't have to give attention to that, because when I give attention to it, that means there's some layer of it that I've accepted. So now it becomes a thing. Like there are times where my husband might say something and I might feel some type of way, as if he's not paying attention to me or listening to me or wanting to just really have appreciation. And I have to kind of just pick my battles and say, it's not worth me losing my peace over. And I also can say too, with rejection, it can look like failure at times, but it just happens. I think it is just a difference. You just have to have a layer of self-awareness for yourself. And to switch it to a healthy place is to realize that the external projection that somebody might put on me isn't mine to pick up. That's their stuff. That isn't mine. So if they reject me, there's some form of them that they may not be aware of and may not really know they're hurting either. Because that can also be another point of it as well. So just having the boundaries for your own mental space to keep your peace is important. But to get there takes a lot of introspection. I mean, it takes so much introspection and really self-awareness to get to. You just have to work through your stuff because it comes up in different triggers for people. I think the biggest one is relationships, and having to choose what's healthy is really hard. It's really hard, really hard.
Lord, is it hard? Lord have mercy. Especially when you've been with somebody for so long, it's like, whew. But what I'm learning right now in this season is truly trusting God in this process of feeling rejected, feeling, you know, overlooked or whatever like that. I'm learning how to trust God while learning how to shut my mouth in situations. I'm finding that when I choose not to react the way I want to react and literally just be quiet and shut my mouth, that gives God the opportunity to do what only he can do. Mm-hmm. I have seen God literally step in certain situations, certain arguments, certain disputes, just because I chose to shut up. Mm-hmm. And like you said, pick your battles, pick your responses, pick your reactions as well, especially if you're going through this process and you're learning how not to react negatively. It can be hard, but at the same time, do you want to deal with this situation? Do you really want to deal with this situation, or do you want to allow God to deal with this situation? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, have you ever felt rejection from God?
That's a good question. I think I have probably felt like it was rejection, but
our feelings tells us.
Yeah. I felt that way when there were things that I didn't want or things I wanted that God didn't allow to happen. Even more recently, and it's so crazy because for my license related to as a mental health professional, there's a certain level of a licensure called a clinical license that would allow me to actually practice as an independent therapist where I could take clients and do therapy with them. I've done everything to get the license as far as the hours. You have to work like a certain amount of years with clients in order to do it. You have to just take a test to pass, and I've taken the test twice and failed it. And both times was extremely confident, extremely felt at peace, and was like, yeah, this is going to be, I'm going to pass it. It's going to be a thing. And both times failed it. And not failed it by much either. And so I have felt like, God, why is this season so long? I have felt like, why is this taking so long? Why is the thing that I want taking so long to get to? And what I realized is that God's delay isn't necessarily rejection, but more self-protection for me. Because in my mind, he could give me everything I want and what I think I want, and it destroy me quicker than it helps. But in the feelings, if I'm talking about the feelings of what it feels like to be rejected or delayed, or feeling as if God is just like making you go through so much, I have realized that it just sucks. Like it honestly just sucks. Like, if I could just talk about it, it just really just doesn't feel good. And God, I feel like, allows us to have those feelings. That's why I always say feelings aren't facts. Feelings aren't things that are like set in stone. They change by the day. They aren't the finished product. I think those things though do allow us to get to a place of patience and endurance. Like, everything I have gone through up until this point and going through my own mental health journey has brought me to a place where I'm at now, which is a lot more healthier, a lot more very graceful. Like, I'm just more graceful towards people. I have a lot more boundaries. I'm very, very big on respect. I'm very big on honoring people and giving them love. I wasn't like that before. And I think it, I needed those bad feelings to burn off. I needed to go through things to feel like God wasn't with me, to then really experiencing what it is like where he is with me. Because me thinking God didn't want things from me pushed me away from him to a place where I realize now, even though it feels bad, I know he hasn't left. And I think you can't really get to a place of not feeling like you're rejected from God until you feel like you have been rejected from God. And I want to say sometimes he allows that. It makes me think of the prodigal son, how he was in the palace and he left and then he came back, because it makes you realize how good you really do have it with the father versus without him. You can't get too far off when you're one of God's children. You just can't get too far off. You can get off, like you will get off, but you can't get too far off. And so I'm more appreciative of feeling those feelings, because it always reminds me of how human I am and how God really still loves me because of that.
How has your faith helped you during this process, helped you during your therapy, helped you during just the process of unlearning all of these beliefs? How has your faith truly helped you in this area?
Girl, that's probably the only thing I have. yeah, because it's a lot of unlearning. I mean, when you are unlearning religion, it is the hardest thing ever, because you are challenged with thought processes and you're just really at the face of Jesus, and you're having to really see what this looks like, because religion will make you feel so bad about yourself. I mean, so bad.
Oh my God.
So bad about yourself. And the Bible talks about God's thought towards us being precious and how eternally loving he is. He is a God that is just and fair. But there is such a layer of him that I feel. I was reading the other day about when Jesus was wants to go eat with the tax collectors. And those were, of course, sinners back then. And the Pharisees just judged him, like, why would he go do that? And Jesus was just like, why would the sick need to have, like, I think it was, I don't even remember what the verbiage of the scripture was, but like, he was basically saying, I'm with them and I want to be with them. And so I think it's, faith has been, I've seen faith in a different way. I'll say that. I thought I had faith. I thought I had a relationship with God. I thought I loved God, but I was really in performance religion. I was so judgmental. My God, of other people. Which then, of course, like, judgmental of myself. And yeah, like, just truly, truly was not in a place that was good. And so my faith has just been strengthened. I mean, I'm just, you know, you can just get put through it. You get put through the ringer. And I believe that God is with me now. I didn't believe that at first. I thought, like you said, it was fleeting. Like, his presence was fleeting. Like, it just was here, there when I felt good and not there when I felt good. That now it's really grounded and you're with me every step of the way.
Why do you think it's important for God to reveal this truth to us now? When you talk about unlearning religion, getting to a point where we're just unlearning a lot of things about ourselves, and just being in this dispensation of time where a lot of God's people are just rising up and doing, you know, kingdom things, starting kingdom businesses, becoming kingdom influencers, like, that's a lot to take in itself. But why do you think this truth about our mental health and how we process things is so important for God right now?
Yeah. So this is a great question, because I do feel like in the sign of the times where the Bible talks about God's spirit being poured out into the earth. So first off, God's spirit brings truth, period. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the spirit of truth. And so with that being said, I understand more now than ever, God wants to reveal himself and show himself to his people and bring his glory. And so with bringing his glory means bringing his truth. And you know, I do also go with the lens of like, there's a lot of people who will put their name, put God's name on what they're doing and call it God, and it's not. And so there's a lot of also, you know, the enemy will pervert things, but I do recognize that you will know the Holy Spirit by his power. And so with that being said too, I think that when it comes to mental health, God bringing understanding and clarity and just light in this area helps us be more equipped to know how the enemy tries to toy with us. Because a lot of times we blame a lot on the enemy. And I say blame because I do believe he only brings the negative things. And so a lot of what he tries to play with us on are those mental things. Most of the things that in the Bible talks about when we're talking about faith is, you know, Jesus talks a lot about decisions and choosing things and the mind and how he freed us and gave us life of abundance. And in those things, when we're choosing faith, it's a set of beliefs, and our beliefs have a lot to do with the way we think. In Romans 12:2, it talks about being transformed by the renewal of our minds, but in the NLT version, it talks about God wants to transform the way you think. Because if he transforms the way you think, then not your actions. It doesn't say God wants to transform your actions. He wants to transform the way you talk to people. If he transforms the way you think about things and your perspective towards those things, then you will then be able to treat people with gentleness and kindness and love and understanding versus immediately reacting to negative choices. And so I think God is just giving us more equipment to fight and giving us more awareness to fight against the enemy's schemes and just having more of discernment. I know that even certain things that are going on in my life right now, like I can identify, oh, this is what this is. This is me feeling not secure. Oh, this is what this is. This is me not having faith. Oh, this is what this is. Like when I talk about self-sabotage, this is me having a limited thought process. I wouldn't know that. I would just think, oh, well, maybe I just don't need to choose that today because God doesn't want that from me. But that's not all, that's not based in truth. And so I just do believe he's giving us more equipment to know how to fight and how to use our tools like prayer and the word and becoming understanding of searching the scriptures for what is truth so that we can just be more equipped to fight.
This whole series to me is nothing like but God, because I was literally like about what, like 2-3 weeks ago, I had a breakdown and I couldn't understand why. And it broke me down so much to the point where it prompted me to finally go to therapy. God had been trying to instruct me and send me signs and, you know, little things like that to try to tell me to go to therapy. But you know, it's just like this whole stigma or this, oh, I don't think therapy is going to help me, or I don't believe this is God, or this, you know, this and that, all of these excuses. So how would you encourage somebody who's maybe in that place of trying to figure out whether they should go to counseling or seek therapy? Like, what is something that you can tell them to encourage them to finally go?
So first I would say mental health matters to the Lord. It is a thread. I mean, I could just name out so many scriptures related to this. It's just a thread. It's a thread throughout the word of God that God cares about our heart. So the Bible talks about the heart being the place where Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As a man thinketh, so is he. Guard your heart above all. Because out of it flows the issues of life. Our heart is the seat. Like if you look in the Greek definition of heart in the Bible, it says the heart is the seat of the emotions. It's the place where the seat of what we feel emotionally is. And so like the Bible talks about the heart being this place. Like David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that was after God's emotions. He was a man that was after God's desires. He was a man that was after wanting to know who God was. And so because the heart is such a place that, you know, ties to our emotional health, we make emotions, we make decisions out of emotion. We make, like Jesus said, he described the heart as wicked. And because of that, we can have bad emotions. And so because it's such a thread throughout the word, like the Bible talks about it, it says that the word of God is alive and well, it pierces even the very joint between joint and marrow, and it exposes the intentions of the heart. The word of God exposes us and exposes what we think, feel, do, all of those things. And so to say that God doesn't care about our mental health with that, you make decisions based on what you're thinking. And so because you do that, sometimes you have to really know, what am I thinking that's causing me to act in this way? What am I thinking or feeling that's causing me to make decisions in this way? What am I thinking, feeling that's causing me to reject God when I get upset? And so I would say, therapy is not for crazy people. Actually, as a professional speaking from an expert seat now, most therapists really deal with day-to-day things with clients. We talk about job stress. We talk about how you can work on your anxiety, how you can come out of depression. There are therapists that specialize in postpartum depression, which is a huge thing for moms. There are therapists that specialize in life coaching. They do life coaching. There are some therapists who do, like my therapist really helps with trauma. So because of that, and because of to say that God doesn't care about these things, it's just against everything that the Bible says that God is. And so I would say he would not put it away for you to prioritize such a sacred space, because it's your mental space. And so he cares about our mental health, and he cares about how we feel. He cares about what we do. He cares about how we're feeling in the moment. And so, and even just adding another scripture to that, Jesus said, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you're heavy, you're overwhelmed. You're emotional. Oh, and one more thing, as I recently discovered this last year, but when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Bible talks about he was coming to God about having to take the cup and know that he was about to be crucified, he was so overwhelmed that he actually began to sweat blood. And so if you look on Google, looking up like sweating blood, there's actually a diagnosis for that, which is called, it's a very long name, I can't pronounce it, but it basically says that under extreme pressure and stress, your blood vessels can burst, and you can actually sweat blood from extreme agony and stress. And so to say that our Savior was not human would then take away the agony of knowing I'm about to be killed. I'm about to suffer so much for humanity. He, in his humanness, knew that. And he actually physically had physical signs of that agony that he was about to face, being all God, knowing what the end was going to be like. And so, in understanding that Christ was literally coming before God in agony, begging him to not take the cup, but then said, let your will be done. And so, again, I layer this to say, there's so many layers of God caring about that space that wouldn't have even been recorded if that wasn't important to the Father. Right. And so I think it's just very, very important that us being humans, we have things that we think about, and the Lord knows that and cares about that. And so I think it's very important that we prioritize that space and deal with those things, because if we don't, then the enemy can continue to use it against us and not be smart enough to, or not be smart enough, just have the awareness enough to really deal with it.
That was so good. That literally that just did something to me. Like, yeah. What? Yeah, oh, come on. Like
Google sweating blood or I think it's like sweating blood, but Google says it's literally when you have you're so heavy with stress and agony. It's an actual condition. So that's how I also know Jesus was all human. He was all human. I mean, the Bible talks about him being human, but just another layer of knowing he was all man.
That's a revelation within itself. And that truly, if that didn't encourage someone to finally just go ahead and just try it, like just try therapy. Like even for me, now that I've tried it and I'm getting into the routine of just being vulnerable and being comfortable in my vulnerability, then, you know, it's literally been helping transform my mind and renew my mind. So you mentioned your business. What is Show Up Sis, and how can we get involved and support you with that?
Yeah. So Show Up Sis is basically, I haven't given up therapy as a Christian. I know my focus is all over the place, but actually it's not all over the place. It's where it needs to be. So I won't say it's not all over the place, but
right.
Show Up Sis is, I have always been someone that really, I feel like the thread of my purpose, because I feel like there's always a thread for people of what you can grab hold on to. It's always to help people, but one of mine is to bring clarity and understanding. I do believe one of my gifts is teaching, and people have always said I can explain things very clearly to really digest and understand. And so I've always been someone that really loved solving problems, having a lot of strategy when it comes to like helping people have to understand things more clearly. And one of those areas has always been in time management, because I have always kind of seen myself be productive and never knew how I was able to get a lot of things done. I don't really like idle time. I've learned over time how to rest in a proper way. But with that being said, I've just always liked getting things done. That's just always been the way that I've operated. And I've always got the question of, girl, how do you get so much done, how do you stay so disciplined? And I'm like, I don't know, I've just kind of done this. And so with that being said, I've noticed that when friends or people I talk to feel like they're not productive or they're not disciplined or not consistent, there's a heavy emotional component with that. They really feel down on themselves. They really feel overwhelmed. They really feel sad. And so I kind of took that, and I did coaching last year throughout the pandemic, as well as some this year, and took what I've known with mental health and then time management coaching, kind of merged them together. And it's an opportunity for me to help ambitious women of faith really overcome the self-sabotage piece and the limiting beliefs piece, as well as heavy procrastination, because that is something a lot of my clients have struggled with. And those two things, and taking those things of how you can overcome them and piecing them together so that you can create routines that work for yourself, become more productive and disciplined, and just overall be fulfilled. I think fulfillment, when you know you've been able to accomplish something or feel like you've done something for the day or the week or the month, and feel like you're doing it in a way that brings life, not even with just a business or anything of that nature, but feeling like, man, I was able to cook dinner for my family and not feel rushed today. I was able to like wake up in the morning and my kitchen is clean and you feel solace. Like you have just a different type of accomplishment emotionally, but also you can feel like I'm getting things done and not being idle and all of those things. So that's it's Show Up Sis. It basically want women to show up as the best version of themselves in every area of their lives. And so that's how I help them. And so it's a combination of mental health and time management coaching. And so, yeah, how you can get involved with me, honestly, just follow me on social media at Roz and Renee. I currently have an 8-week program that's closing on July 3rd. But I probably will offer it again, but I will definitely be sharing like a lot of free content for people to take advantage of that will help them kind of learn how to do that as well.
Girl, look, I think I'm gonna need that myself. Time management, that's, come on now. Like, especially when you have so much on your plate and you trying to prioritize work, your business, your family, your child, your needs, this and this and that. Like, I really would encourage you all that's listening to check it out. Please just make sure you support, make sure you follow her. This interview has been such a blessing for me. I know it's been a blessing for you all too. And I'm just so excited for what God is going to do in your life and in your business and your Therapy as a Christian podcast. You all, please go listen to it. I've been listening to it more and more recently now, since this whole topic has come about, and it's been very helpful, and it's been very, it's been feeding my soul. Okay?
Yes, girl. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, thank you so much, Ms. Roslyn Renee, for being on the Living in Pursuit podcast. Can't thank you enough for scheduling some time
to sit
and talk with me. So, yeah, everybody, make sure you all support. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends. Make sure you leave a review, leave a rating, and I will talk to y'all in my next episode on next week in the Mind Control series. Bye, y'all.